Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because we treasure the word of God, as we stand and read our opening scripture, it's coming from Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Hallelujah. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may
Hallelujah.
Come in. Who is this
Hallelujah.
King of glory?
He's the King.
The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
Hallelujah.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye ever ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Yes.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty. He is the King of glory.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it has power to change us, to help us in our everyday life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is a privilege. It's an honor always to come and bring the Word of God to you today. And today, as I was praying about today and over this week thinking about this is going to be Palm Sunday, I've always liked Palm Sunday because I like palm trees. And I come from a place where there's lots of palm trees.
Okay.
And so I like palm trees. And this morning I actually smelled the smell of palm as the teenage girls were actually helping us strip out the palms today for us. And as I was smelling it, I thought that does have a familiar smell. It has a homey kind of smell for me. Now for you, it might be, what's that weird smell? But for me, it just reminds me of growing up around palm trees. I love palm trees because they symbolize, and even in the ancient world, they symbolize victory. Even with their branches raised upright as if victory in battle. And that was a symbol in the ancient world that they would, oftentimes, they would use palms and they would weave them together, or they would use them in such a way to symbolize victory. Well, on this day, I believe that God sent us a prophetic message.
Amen.
That prophetic message was when Jesus entered Jerusalem, that he was on a mission. He was on a mission to save the world. He was on a rescue mission. And that rescue mission involves us, and it involves our everyday life. Everything that we go through, every trial, every difficulty, Jesus wants to be your victory in every situation.
Amen.
He wants to be your victory. And if you will allow him, if you will allow the King of glory to come in, I believe that you'll be blessed. Even if you've known the Lord for a long time, it's easy to go through this season of the year just kind of on autopilot. Well, it's Palm Sunday. Well, now we got to get ready for Easter. Well, now we got to go the shopping for the Easter dinner. And then we got to go and, well, if we do eggs in our family, got to go do the eggs. Got to go buy the things for the kids. Whatever it might be, it's really easy to flip into autopilot. So this morning, I want us to make a conscious decision as a church and as the people of God that we would not be those folks that just put it on autopilot, but instead, we would be those that are embracing everything that God has for us, that we would experience all that God has for us, and it would be a major, major blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say,
I believe
that God wants me to receive his blessing, but to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So as I was meditating and studying along these lines, the Lord reminded me of a couple things. First of all, it is Passover weekend. So if you haven't realized this, in the Hebrew calendar, this is Nisan 15, or 15 Nisan. And that month is considered in the Hebrew faith, in the Jewish mindset, It is considered the month of miracles. Did you know that? It's considered the month of miracles.
Amen.
It's considered the month of miracles. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And this is the exact moment, and these are the moments that in the Hebrew calendar, which is quite exact, by the way, our current calendar that we use, the Gregorian calendar, is based on just the sun. Mm. The Hebrew calendar is based on the sun and the moon, the phases of the sun and the moon. It's quite exact. In fact, most Hebraic scholars can point to the date that certain things happened, even in the Old Testament. They can actually tell you that when they led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, that was right around Nisan 15, somewhere between Nisan 15 and Nisan 17. The reason why there is a difference is just like in our calendar, we have leap year. There are certain calculations that have to occur in order to make up for that. So they're pretty close on knowing when Jesus walked in, or not walked in, but rode in to Jerusalem. They're pretty accurate on when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt,
yeah.
When the Passover lamb was to be selected. Come on, people.
Right.
God's an exact God. He's an exact God. And there is something about praise. There is something about praise at this time of year. That if we're going to receive the miracles, that we would be a blessing to be a miracle for somebody else.
Yes.
That you would offer to pray for somebody else. Be that miracle conduit, if you will, for someone else. That you would step out and be bold. Now, our Jewish friends that are celebrating Passover, I found something quite interesting that they, in their Passover meal, they actually reference Psalm 118. So if you would, turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is something that is fascinating to me, because this particular psalm in the Passover meal is recited often. It is celebrated. And during that meal, that symbolic meal, the Passover meal, we see something really, really amazing. We see that God is a God that can be trusted. His word works, right? His word absolutely works. And in the Passover meal, we see a couple of things that happen. First of all, they actually recite something. It just astounds me every time I see this. They actually recite, I believe it's in a column at verse 24, I believe it is. Is that the one that I gave you? Sorry. Here we go. That this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This was recited during the Passover meal. So as they are beginning the meal, they recite this. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. They have been doing this for almost 2,000 years, over 2,000 years. Because we know that Moses was further back than Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this has been going on for thousands of years that they recite Psalm 118. Mm-hmm. They literally say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Hallelujah.
And I begin to think about God's exactness. I begin to think about how even when he was instructing them to build the tabernacle, how exact God was. And here on this day, this triumphal entry day, we are celebrating that Jesus came into Jerusalem. That he came into Jerusalem, that it was the day the Lord has made. And according to many scholars, those that were crying out in the streets, the children and the crowds, they were crying out Not only were they singing Hosanna, which means mighty to save, come and save us now, but they were also singing and reciting, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. They were in such exuberance at that time. They were praising God. They were excited because they were expecting a king, but they were not expecting the kind of king that Jesus is. They were expecting a conquering king. Jesus rides in on a donkey, which was known in the ancient world. If you wanted peace with a neighbor, if you wanted peace with an enemy, then you would ride to that place to negotiate a treaty with a donkey. You would ride in on a donkey, not a war horse, but a donkey. And the word tells us, and it turns with me very quickly to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9 gives us a picture, again, several hundred years before Jesus is there in Jerusalem. And it says this in verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so God, in his infinite wisdom and his exactness, is prophesying through the prophet Zechariah hundreds of years in advance that Jesus would ride in on a donkey. That's fascinating to me. That is fascinating. Now go back to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Oh, it is. It is the day that he has made. Praise God. Praise God. And as they were crying out, and as they were rejoicing, singing, this is the day the Lord has made, they were also crying out in a prayer sort of form, Hosanna, save us. Save us from the oppression. Save us. They didn't know exactly what they were asking for because they were thinking, save us from this oppressive government. But what God had in mind was, I want to save you from the oppression of the curse of sin. And I am going to send my son, my only son, to be the one who pays the price. That in this space, praise led the way. Just like we sang.
Yes.
It led the way to victory.
Yes.
Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission. And that mission was to save mankind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That mission was to save mankind. That mission was to be the savior of the world. And that's why when we come together and we worship God, we come together and we hear the word of God. The word of God has the ability to change our very life, to change everything about us, to change how we're operating in our lives, in our relationships. And the word praise in the Hebrew language is Hallel. Hallel. In fact, they call it the great Hallel. And typically what they will do is verse 22 of Psalm 118 says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Right there, the psalmist writes and tells us that Jesus was going to be rejected. That the builders, those that were supposed to be the ones who would build the house of God, rejected the cornerstone, or rejected the stone and that was to become the cornerstone. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, And what does that say to our lives? Well, sometimes the king that we didn't expect is the one we need. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes the king that we didn't expect is the one we actually need.
Yeah.
The one who we actually need. Think about when you were lost, without hope, without God in the world. Before Jesus became your Lord, before Jesus actually came and changed your life, what were you like? Well, you could say, well, I was a pretty good person. But when you really think about it, what were you really like in your heart of hearts? Were you really, really connected with God? No. The Word tells us that we were lost, we were without hope, we were without God in the world. What a horrible place to be. But sometimes the king that shows up in our lives is not the one we expected, but it's the one we needed. It's the one we needed. And that's exactly what happened here in Israel. He was the king that they did not expect, but he's the one that they absolutely needed.
Yes.
He was rejected by the religious leaders. Now, what about our life? How does that apply to us? Well, how many times does God literally show up into our lives and it was not exactly how we expected him to show up, but it's exactly how we needed him to show up?
Amen. That's good.
Because God is always on time and he's that good. He's that good. So this week, expect God to show up in the ways that you need him the most. Tomorrow, when you walk into work, when you walk into school, when you wake up and maybe you're retired, maybe you're, you know, you don't have to go anywhere. But when you see that neighbor or when you go out to run that errand, the king will show up. And it's exactly the king you need. Not always the one that you expected, but the one that you absolutely need.
That's good. That's good.
Verse 25 is when of Psalm 118, it says, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. And that's one of the translations. But save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. This was what, in the Passover meal, they would also recite this particular verse and this particular concept. Lord, we need your help. Prosper us. Save us, we pray, oh now. How many of you could identify with that, right? Lord, save us. Save us. Save us from ourselves. Come on. From some of our stupid decisions. Yes, I did say it in my house. We're not allowed to say stupid, but I just said it. I did. To make a point, okay? So, we need to cry out to God. Jesus hears our Hosanna cries, and he always responds with mercy, not might. Aren't you glad for mercy over might? I'm so glad for mercy. Mercy treats us better than we deserve. And none of us deserved anything. But he treats us with mercy. He treats us better than we deserve. Better. So, here we are. Jesus hears your Hosanna cry. And he's going to respond to you this week in mercy. He's going to respond to you better than you deserve. Better than you deserve. Aren't you so glad about that?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. He treats us better. Oh, man. It's better in Father's house. Hallelujah. Listen, if you've been away from Father's house, you've been out doing your own thing, you've been away, come back to Father's house. It's always better in Father's house. It's always better. It's always better. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. And so as they shouted out, verse 26, they said this. This was, again, both in the Passover meal and in the triumphal entry. Both.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were shouted, and he didn't come for fame. He didn't come for fame, but he came in authority. He was a king. He was a king coming to bring peace to mankind.
Yes, Lord.
Why do you think he was on a donkey?
Mm-hmm.
Next time he comes, he's coming on a horse.
That's awesome.
Great. Next time he comes,
really
church,
really
he's coming on a horse.
That's really
receive him while he's on the donkey.
Whoa. My God.
Wow.
That's deep.
Receive
wow.
him when he's coming
yeah.
for peace.
That's wow. good, Pastor.
Yeah.
That's really
wow.
good.
Wow.
Hallelujah. That's really good.
That's good.
Amen.
He came in authority and he came in love. He came to bring peace between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
How does that apply to our lives, Pastor? When we bless him and receive him as Lord, we receive peace and we receive the presence of God.
Yes, Lord.
The presence of God, the shalom.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear perhaps this week,
hallelujah.
Perhaps maybe some of your Jewish friends, co-workers, shalom. Even neighbors, they might say the word shalom. That word shalom means nothing broken, nothing missing. When somebody says shalom to you, they're greeting you saying, I wish for you nothing broken, nothing missing. No relationships broken. No health situation broken. No relational situation broken. But that you're whole. That you're whole. You walk in the wholeness of God. You see, today is not just about waving palms, and although I love to do that, it's about receiving a king. And he may not always come the way you expect, but he always comes the way you need. Always. Always. And as you have that expectation of what God is doing in the earth, as I have studied and for the first time as pastor of this church, teaching along the lines of the end times on Wednesday evenings, I have been incredibly attuned to where we're at. We are truly in the last of the last days. We may not be in the last year. We may not be in the last month, and I'm not putting a date or a time on it. But I am telling you this. We are very close to the soon and coming King, to the rapture of the church, to the taking up of God's people. And when I look at the Hebrew calendar and I realize how exact it was, that even the prophet Daniel actually foretold how many years it would be before Messiah would be revealed. And to the exact number of years, Jesus rode in on a donkey. And God was saying, this is my son, whom I well pleased. This is my son, riding in on a donkey to bring peace.
Yes.
Shalom to mankind.
Right.
Shalom
yes.
to mankind. Receive the shalom of God and give the shalom of God this week.
Amen.
Know that he is the king.
Yes.
And he is mighty to save. He is the one who shows up, and he's not always the king that we expected, but he is the one that we needed.
Yes.
He is not always the one who we think will do this, that, or the other, but he is the one you absolutely need. He
yes.
is mighty to save.
Yes.
He is mighty to save.
Amen.
Jesus answered. He answered not with a sword, but he answered with a cross. And that was his mission. That was his mission. And as we go this week, and you have the palm with you, I want you to use it as an opportunity to spread the shalom of God.
Yes.
If there are anybody in our church congregation who know how to make the crosses, if you could make some extra for people to take, we have plenty of palms, but if you can make some of the crosses
Amen.
And use that as an opportunity,
yeah.
to go and bring shalom to somebody else.
Good.
To go and remind them that the King came, but he is coming again.
Amen.
Right.
And would they receive him as the gentle one coming in peace, riding on a donkey,
Amen.
Before he comes to ride on a horse? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is God's will that all come to know the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
But it is their choice. He will never force. He will never force his choice on a human being. It is us who we respond to the love and the mercy of God. And we receive the shalom ourselves so we can then give it to others. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for Hosanna, the mighty to save one. The one, Father, who defied all the odds. The one who showed up with proof of love. Father, we pray right now, God, that you administer your goodness to the people today, either those that are watching online or those, God, that are right here in this place, in this space. Lord, if there are those that are away from Father's house, that they would come back to Father's house. Father, that they would embrace the shalom, the nothing broken, nothing missing. God, they would embrace your love today and the authority that you come to bring peace to mankind. So right now, Lord, we pray, God, you'd minister to your people on this Hosanna Day, on this Nisan, this month of Nisan,
Amen.
This time of Passover, the month of miracles. Lord, I pray that there are miracles in our midst. In our relationships, yes. In our homes, in our jobs, God, that you would be glorified in the name of Jesus right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you need to come back to God or you need to come to know him. It's a real simple thing. The Word of God tells us we believe in our heart and we confess him with our mouth. And we just believe that he is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead, and that we call him our Lord and our Savior. It's called being born again. It's not a religious sect. It's not a religious movement. It's not a political movement. It is a relationship with the King who came riding in on a donkey. And if that's you, you need to either come back to God and reestablish that relationship, or you need to come to him for the first time. I want you, just as every head bowed in this place, every eye closed, if you're watching online, say this simple prayer with us. If you want Jesus, I want you to raise up your hand in this place. You want Jesus. You're either coming back to God or you are coming to him for the first time. Let's pray out loud. Let's mean it in our heart. Let's receive the King right now. Father, in Jesus' name, go ahead and repeat after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name,
I come to you.
And I ask you that you would forgive me.
I believe
that you are the Son of God, Jesus. And I receive that forgiveness. That restoration. And I thank you, God, for causing me to come back to you, to come to you, to be born again. And I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior from this day on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, or you were coming back to God, I really want to know so I can pray for you this week. You raised up your hand, so I know it's you. I'll just be available. You can talk to me privately. But I just want you to know that God loves you. And it's always better in Father's house. Always. No matter. You say, well, I've been to church. I've been hurt at church, etc., etc. Listen, we're human beings. We've all been there. But he is not going to hurt you. He is not going to disappoint you. And when you stay in relationship with him, oh my goodness, the shalom of God can pour out of your life into others.
Amen.
As you go this week, knowing that the King of glory has come in. Let him come in to every aspect of your life this week. It'll change you forever. Next week, we'll celebrate Easter. We encourage you to come, bring a friend. Sometimes Easter is the best time to invite somebody to church. And we'd love to see this house full. We've been believing for this house to be full. So let's fill it. Fill it, and he'll fill us if we'll come. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet, and let's pray and recite, declare over our church, over our lives, Psalm 121, 7 and 8. It goes like this. Let's all say it together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you, and we love you. And if you need any personal ministry, you're watching online, please message us on the Facebook app. We love you. We appreciate you. If you need any special prayer, I'm just going to be down front. People need prayer for healing, for things of that nature. I'm just going to be available to talk to you. God bless you. Have a great week. And go be shalom to somebody else.